Good evening and welcome along to The Score once again, our midweek sports show here in Highland, where we take a close look at what is happening in the sporting world across the Northwest and beyond. I'm your host, Mark Gallagher. I'll be with you now through until 8 o'clock. And as always, we have a busy show lined up coming up shortly. We'll hear from the Letterkenny Cricket Club, who will play at senior level for the very first time this year. But once again, the club are making a call for their own facilities and ground. We'll be speaking to James McCarron of the Donegal Boxing Board about the new boxing tournament, remembering the late great Peter O'Donnell. And in soccer, Limavady are on the verge of taking the Irish League Championship crown. Chris Ashmore has been chatting to their manager Paul Owens. And it is soccer we begin with, but we're going to focus on matters closer to home here in Donegal and the League of Ireland picture for Finn Harps and Derry City ahead of tomorrow night's games. I'm happy to say joining me on the programme this evening is former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan. Keith, thank you very much for popping on. It's good to chat to you once again.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me back on again, yeah.
So usually we go straight into the Harps and Derry stuff, but before we talk League of Ireland this week, let's have a chat about the local scene here in the Donegal League. You were playing for Letterkenny Rovers last night, Keith. 3-0 winners in the end-up, and now very much closing in on back-to-back Premier Division titles.
Yeah, look, nothing's done until it's done, you know, until the points are on the board and you're the trophies in your hand. But look, we put ourselves in a good position. It was a good result last weekend against Bunagee. A really, really difficult game. We managed to get a point there, and then last night picking all 3 points up against Kildrome again. It wasn't, you know, scoreline maybe flattered us a bit in terms of how the game went, but you know, look, it was a big 3 points that we needed to get, and we got them. And yeah, with 2 games remaining, it's very much in our hands, but, you know, still a lot of work to do.
Yeah, it's a long season, I know, and there are a lot of big moments. But I was on air with Kieran on Sunday when word came through that Shane McNamee had equalised late on against Bunagee, and it was just obvious at that moment that it was a massive goal in terms of the title picture. And when you look back at the season, those are the kind of clutch moments that will have helped you on your way to this title if you do get over the line.
Yeah, that was a huge goal from Shane, you know, that goal for me, the way that it came at that moment in the game, it was huge. And the bearing that it has on the league as well is absolutely massive. Like, it was almost like a 6-pointer in terms of, you know, the way that the title could have went and, you know, bearing on the result. There's been a few moments like that throughout the season for us. I suppose with the squad we have, we're able to make changes. And, you know, when I think there was a late goal against Kilmacrenan this year, you know, that got us 3 points. There was a last-minute goal against Kildrome away, which got us 3 points, you know, and then that one at the weekend was another one. So, you know, in terms of the lads, you know, that's proper character as well. You know, like, kind of that never-say-die attitude, it's a bit of a cliche, but, you know, when you're picking up wins late in games like that, you know, it does ring true there.
For sure. Another big game this coming Sunday, a break from the league. It's Coghill Celtic in the FAI Junior Cup. Fair to say, Keith, this is the two best junior teams in the county colliding at Lakeview on Sunday.
Possibly, yeah. That'd be a fair enough statement over the last couple of years especially. They've won their league very comfortably. I think maybe a month ago or more, went undefeated and, you know, managed to get their league title wrapped up so they can, you know, focus on some of the other cups that they have available to them. In terms of ourselves, yeah, it's going to be a massive ask to go down there and, like, how good they are at home, and, you know, the good crowd down there as well. And, you know, it's the FAI Junior Cup, you know, a cup that they've been successful in the past, and, you know, they'll be looking to maintain that. So a big ask maybe for us again to go, having played Sunday, then play Wednesday, and then play Sunday again. So, you know, that will really test the squad and stretch the squad. So, yeah, it'll be a tough battle. It'll be an interesting encounter, and, you know, it'll definitely be one for people to get down and watch.
And we touched on Kildrome earlier. They've got a massive game as well in the Ulster Cup final against Cairn on Sunday afternoon. What way do you see that one playing out? Both of those teams will be very hungry to get the silverware.
Yeah, like, we managed to pip Kildrome last year in the final. You know, there wasn't much in it. We managed to just get on the get on the right side of a 1-0 scoreline. So, you know, Kildrum maybe fancying themselves maybe as cup specialists in a way, getting to the final again this year. Cairn, we actually played Cairn ourselves a couple of weeks ago in the FAA Junior down there, you know, under tough enough conditions with blustery Friday afternoon, and it was we managed to get through that tie. But you know, they're a young side, you know, they're energetic, they'll chase, they'll harry, they'll put Kildrum under pressure. But I just think with Kildrum's say style of play, but be careful here. The style, you know, the way that they can influence the game, you know, is going to be massive, and then the experience that they have, and you know, I suppose getting so far last year as well, you know, they'll be wanting to maybe go one better. And I feel just that experience that they have, you know, although they are carrying a couple of knocks going into the game as well. You know, a few lads maybe went off last night and a few lads didn't start. So look, that all depends. That will have a bearing on the game also. But I just think, like I said, with the experience that they have, they should definitely edge it this year.
Big weekend ahead in local soccer. Maybe let's move on to League of Ireland matters. Keith, Finn Harps and Derry, both away from home tomorrow night in the SSE Air Trusty League. Finn Harps are away to UCD in the First Division and Derry away to Shelburne. Let's start with Harps. Probably coming into this game off the back of, you know, a low point in the season so far, going down 2-0 to Cove last week at Finn Park. A disappointing enough result considering the two good performances against Cork and Bray the week previous.
Yeah, you know, I suppose just, you know, when we talk about conditions and, you know, and football and how it can have a massive effect. Like last week's game, for anyone who was able to go to it or watch it on TV, it was horrible conditions, you know, for both sides. It was terrible, you know, trying to, I suppose, just move the ball on that surface or even in the air was difficult. So yeah, it wasn't one for, you know, the purist anyway, that's for sure. I think just the manner of the defeat maybe as well, the manner of the goals they'll be disappointed with. And as you said there, Mark, you know, coming off two decent performances before that. UCD was probably one of Harp's best performances and one of the two games that they picked up 3 points in already this season in the home tie. So yeah, look, they'll be going there knowing that they, you know, that they can put on a performance against UCD. UCD have probably been one of the sides that have impressed me more this season, just the way they move the ball. You know, they've got so many powerful runners all over the park. You know, Kieran Behan up top, he's got five goals. Sorry, he plays in the 10, has five goals already this season, you know, and 10 games is a decent return for him. So, yeah, they'll be good. They're decent up there. You know, they don't give much away. And like I said, they have quality in a lot of areas, and it'll definitely be a big ask for Harps to go there and pick up 3 points for sure.
Yeah, since that game at Finn Park, UCD, Willie O'Connor's side, actually, Bon Cranaman, his side of, you know, really cemented themselves as being one of the best teams in the league. They sit third now, just behind Wexford. They're in good shape. And as always, O'Connor has put a really well-organised team together. What will it take for Harps to get back into the win column tomorrow night? What kind of performance are you expecting?
Yeah, look, it's going to be difficult there. I think they're going to go there and expect UCD to have, you know, most of the ball. I guess, look, it's down to your big players again. You know, it's down to, you know, the likes of your Conor Turrish, you know, who's Harps' leading goal scorer with three goals this season. You know, it's coming from centre half. You know, Tony McNamee. You're looking at young Cullen, young McAtee. You're looking for them to step up again and, you know, try and put on a, you know, kind of match winning performances. You know, for two young lads, like we're looking at the Harps side, and you know, I suppose in terms, if you look at League of Ireland experience, yes, you have Turris, yes, you have McNamee. You know, other than that, you're looking at the two young lads. You know, you look at it, you know, Oran Brogan, you're looking at Bradley Walsh. You know, yes, they're experienced in terms of football maybe, but not in terms of the league. And then obviously the new lads that have come in, you know, Timmy Ajibola has got a couple of goals. But other than that, you know, you haven't much experience. So these lads are having to learn quick, and it can be a big ask. And you know, there's a lot of things at stake. You know, Harps haven't got a big squad, and you know, there they are kind of having to learn on the job. But I suppose you're coming to the stage of the season now where you're starting to sort of have that gap between the, you know, kind of the bottom half of the table and the top half and the playoffs up. So this is one where Harps need to get something out of it. They don't want to be getting caught adrift into that bottom half, and they do want to stay in touch with the top five.
We'll have updates from that game in Dublin tomorrow night with Dara Walsh from the quarter to eight kickoff. Elsewhere tomorrow, Keith, the top two meet Cork City against Wexford. Do Wexford have what it takes to hand Cork their first defeat of the season in tomorrow night's game, Keith?
Difficult to say. You know, Cork, it just seems to be Cork nearly already have one hand on it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's kind of the rest to make up the numbers are just fighting for second. So, yeah, look, they've made a great start. We know the quad they have, you know. I think it's just going to be Cork all the way for me. And like I said, the rest of the lads are playing for second, I'm afraid.
That's it. In the other First Division games tomorrow night, the bottom two meet as Kerry play Treaty. Cove Ramblers are at home to Longford and Bray Wanderers go to the Midlands to face Athlone Town. So let's move on to the Premier Division. Derry City sitting seventh after 11 games, just two wins in there, winless in their last seven, draws with Sligo and Dundalk in their last two games. Are Derry showing any signs of progress ahead of tomorrow night's game in Shelburne?
Well, I can't see it, Mark, to be honest. I read an interview there from Eddie Beats, the young keeper, coming to deputise for Brett Maher. Obviously got injured there in the season, broke his wrist, and, you know, he thinks that, you know, he thinks that things are coming together. I'm not so sure. I don't see it. It feels like, you know, the fans have kind of maybe lost a bit of hope. Have the players, are they actually playing for Tiernan Lynch? It doesn't look like it. You could say that they were maybe unlucky not to pick up 3 points last week away to Dundalk in a 2-1 position. But, you know, looking at the game with when your keeper's the man of the match, you know, it just shows you that, you know, it was maybe only a matter of time before Dundalk, you know, got their equaliser. It just doesn't seem to be working. There seems to be a sense of desperation coming from Lynch, you know, when he's referencing, you know, that there's no easy games in the league, and, you know, Sligo went and beat Bowes and stuff like that. It's just kind of, there's a lot, seems like he's deflecting and he's just not really got, you know, the right balance there. You know, he's talking about injuries, and, you know, sometimes when you have, you know, an embarrassment of riches, you don't really know where to put them all in, and you're buying experienced players here, there and everywhere. And this idea that, you know, it takes time for them to gel. Well, you know, I think that can really go so far as well.
And he says there are no easy games, but if you look at the next three, Shells tomorrow night, home to Shamrock Rovers for that first game at Celtic Park next week, who knows how that'll go, and then away to Bohemians. So how does Lynch, how does he turn around their recent form? What does he have to do to come through those games in a better position than they currently are in?
He might need a prayer, to be honest, Mark. I honestly don't see any way out of this for him. You always want a good start. That didn't really happen for him. Then you're kind of hoping that, okay, you get a bit of time to give everybody that experience that we talked about in that time to gel. That hasn't materialized. I think, you know, from the outside looking in, I think it's a case of, you know, if there was anyone else maybe available to come in and take the job with the experience and with the success, then that might be done sooner rather than later. But until now, that person doesn't really seem to be there, you know, or within the grasp of the board. So it's just, you're looking to the team, all right. You look, you have Michael Duffy in there who's got five goals. Is everything resting on his shoulders? You know, you have James McLean who's, you know, got all the experience. He comes in, gets himself sent off. So, you know, it doesn't really seem that there's much, you know, that there could be a little unrest in there. It's hard to know from the outside looking in, but the facts are the facts. You know, they're seven games without a win, like you said. It's a poor return. You know, 11 points after 11 games, it just doesn't look good so far, you know. And then, like you mentioned, those fixtures coming up. Now they're moving up to Celtic Park as well. McLean was complaining about the surfaces and the League of Ireland. Now he's going to play on a Gaelic pitch, essentially. I'm sure it'll be well looked after, but it just seems like it's a lot of uphill struggle for Derry so far. And again, like I maybe mentioned the last time I was on, there's a lot more questions than there are answers.
Finally, Keith, three other games in the Premier Division tomorrow. Bowes go to Shamrock Rovers. We'll start with that one. Maybe Bohemians started really well, but I think if you were to look at form, it's kind of hard to look past the champions in this game, is it?
Maybe so, yeah. But then they always seem to have, Bowes always seem to have their number, you know. Going into this game, you know, Bowes haven't won for a few weeks now, and, you know, a lot of draws in there, and obviously the unexpected maybe defeat at home to Sligo last week. And then Shamrock Rovers are just doing what Shamrock Rovers do and just are turning over nicely and maybe not blowing teams away, but just look, they know how to win games. They have an experienced squad that they just add to piece by piece and get the right characters in. And that's kind of something maybe that I was touching on before with the Derry idea that, you know, they just seem to add one or two each season and just, you know, kind of build on what they have. And they seem to get the right characters in, and they seem to get, you know, they always have that youth as well that they're able to push through. So, yeah, look, you know, if they have ideas, Bose would need to sort of kick on from their good start. Defensively, they've been excellent, haven't scored a lot of goals, maybe apart from that one down that evening down in Sligo. But yeah, look, I expect Rovers to win this one, and you know, again, just kind of push on and, you know, in search of another title.
And elsewhere, Drogheda United, your old club, at home to St Pat's, and a good game at Oriel Park. Galway go to Oriel Park for a tricky game against Dundalk. That's fifth against fourth. That could be a really good game this weekend.
Yeah, look, it surprised me the way they've set out Chris Twydorick for them as, you know, experienced League of Ireland player, been at Derry, been at Bowes, and finds himself now at Galway, hit the ground running, five goals so far. You know, they've been excellent and, you know, have stuck to their task really well, picked up good victories, you know, a great victory for them away at Drogheda last time, out 2-0 down, come back to win 3-2. So, you know, there's a lot of bite in that squad as well. And, you know, they've definitely shown the league that they're not going to be hopefully involved in a relegation scrap this year, and are going to try and push up the table and hopefully get into them European spots.
Christoph, Keith, interesting week ahead. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us on The Score this evening. We'll be chatting again soon, all right?
Cheers, Mark. Good man. Thank you.
There you go. That is Keith Cowan on all things League of Ireland. We also heard Keith cast his eye over some local matters, and there's lots more happening in local circles this weekend. Those two games we spoke about are on Sunday. The Ulster Cup final between Kildrum Tigers and Cairn Donagh is at McGinn Park, and Coghill Celtic against Letterkenny Rovers in the FAI Cup at the Charlie O'Donnell Grounds. Both games kick off at 1:30 on Sunday afternoon. There are two cup finals on Saturday. Bonagie United face Moville Celtic at 5 o'clock in the Ulster Shield Cup final, while earlier in the day at McGinn Park, Coghill Utes take on Cairn Utes in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup final from 2 o'clock. There's one game in the Donegal Junior League Premier Division on Sunday. Fourth placed Fannet United head to the Hospital Field to face Donegal Town. They've had a great season. The push for promotion in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2 continues. Cranford, who are in the driving seat and sit in second spot, they're at home to Dunkaneely Celtic, while at third place Drumahla host Drumkeen Raphoe Town. Already crowned champions, they are at home to Curragh Athletic. And there's also a game in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division up in Inishowen. Elise Celtic play Buncrana Hearts. Now let's focus on what is happening up north. Limavady United are on the verge of getting promoted to the Irish League Premiership. After a shaky start to the championship season, the Roseiders have gone from strength to strength and enjoyed some notable cup moments as well, not least as they stunned Linfield in the sixth round of the Irish FA Cup before losing out to Coleraine at the quarter-final stage. Last weekend, they hammered Newington 5-1, while second-placed Anna slipped up with a home defeat against Queens. This coming Saturday, they travel to take on Anna, while their final game is at home to Queens. Chris Ashmore has been speaking with the Limavady manager, Paul Owens.
So, Paul, 6 points clear, two games left. You're taking on Anna, who are second in the league at the moment. So going into this match this weekend, it's a great position to be in. You need just a point to win the title.
This is a brilliant position, probably a wee bit further down the road than we would have expected. We went away this Saturday at a really tough venue away to Newington, who were in brilliant form. They'd won 8 of the last 10 games, so the main message for us was just to try and make sure we stayed ahead going into this week's game. And this week we put on a brilliant performance, conceded early in the game, but showed great character and came back and ran a convincing winner 5-1. So added the wee bonus that, you know, Anna had dropped points, which we probably weren't expecting. So this has put us in a really strong position. And I think we have a 12 goal difference as well, and we have 1 point needed. But that's nothing changes for us. We're trying to go up here like we do every week and try to won the game and try and finish the job off in a wee bit of style if we can.
Yeah, so nothing like a bit of momentum going into the last couple of games in the season. If you cast your mind back maybe 2 months ago or so, you could hardly have foreseen that it would be just such a positive situation.
No, it's been a real topsy-turvy season, and I think the big one stands out for me. It was after the first round of fixtures, Anne and Ron Bitten at the time, and they were 8 points clear coming to our pitch, and we put on a really strong performance, and it was 0-0 right up to, I think, the 85th minute, and I personally thought we had won that game, didn't give us any chance, I think, and if we obviously had a loss, the gap would have been 11, but Adam Long stepped up with a really, really big goal late in the game and brought us back to within 5 points, so we got 3 points clear around Christmas time. We threw that away and we went, I think it was 2 points behind up about a month ago. And we even went up over a wee sticky patch just maybe about 6 weeks ago. We had more than three games. And we went this evening on a Tuesday night, 5 points behind, albeit we had a game in hand. And had more than three games. There was a lot of pressure on around the change, especially the younger players. They could feel it. But what they've done since then has been remarkable, to be honest. With 5-1s and 1-1 out of the last six, and five of them games have been away, and they've all been away to top six sides. So we've really stepped up whenever we really need to. A lot of young players have became men over that time, and that's been brilliant for everybody, and we can hopefully just finish off in a real positive manner.
Yeah, and you've had a couple of great cup outings during the season as well, which I'm sure has all helped to the bigger picture.
Aye, those of the Linfield game is brilliant. They have it on TV as well. It was for a lot of firsts for them younger players, and we sampled it the year before with Laren, albeit with four or five new additions this summer. It was brilliant for us to to go and beat the champions at the time, and allowed us to have that big quarter final against Corian, which brilliant for the club, and turned a good win of a pound over that as well. But it was probably came at the right time for us, because we had that wee sticky patch and maybe just that wee bit of distraction that the players needed just to take away the pressures of the league, and put on an okay performance that day. And then since then we've really just put the foot in the gas and really tried to finish as strong as we can, and we've just hopefully finished the job and win it, or Saturday, sorry.
Yeah, and what would it mean to the club and to you to be playing at that higher level next season? Just how big an achievement is it?
It hasn't sunk in yet. Obviously we still need that point, but I think, to be honest, when I came back 3 years ago, the first initial thing was to try and get us out of the PAL, which I was confident I could do. And I did speak to the board at the time. I said, listen, I don't want to come up here and then start trying to tread water in the championship. If I was going to leave the post I had at Corian, I wanted to make sure that we had ambitions to go that wee bit step further. I'll be honest, I don't think we'd probably be in this position so soon, but listen, it's been a whole collective effort, and the board has been brilliant. The support has added, and has allowed us to sign the likes of a Stevie, and then signing the likes of a Stevie's allowed us to maybe sign the likes of a Fully, and it's just all fell on the face. And even things like today, earlier on, I was doing watching, having a wee look at the pitch, which will hopefully be ready for next Friday night. And I actually said to my partner at the time, they'd be something way at the start of the year, we had no pitch, obviously, but even I think that they'd be end up potentially winning this league and having a new pitch and stepping out in the Premier League next year. It's fantastic, to be honest, for everybody locally, and listen, just hopefully we can have a big, a big crowd and a big support next week opening this pitch, and hopefully there's a trophy come 9:30 next Friday night.
Absolutely. Now tell us a little bit about the squad, and I suppose there's added competition for players in the Northwest now, and we've got the third tier in the North. There's a third tier coming in the South as well. So yourselves, the Bonagie Uniteds, the Letterkenny Rovers, the Cockhill Celtic Institute, Strabane Athletic. There's a lot of clubs out there competing for players. Dergview, the list goes on. So I presume you want most of them based in the Northwest. It does help.
Even for ourselves, I thought it was really important of this year more than any to try and get out of this league, because with the league below us having four teams promoted, and Mayola are basically on the verge of being promoted, Strabane done really well, Portstewart have thoughtfully have got a wee bit of a chance, and if I was going in the 16 team league with them teams with the financial power they have as well, I thought it would have been difficult. And I thought the main message for us this year is we could get out and maybe just stay a league ahead of them. The better players might potentially come to us rather than having four or five rivals on your doorstep. So that's in full credit to the Mules and ask the bands if they do get up. But it was like their aim was Premier League football, and then hopefully they can go get that finished off. And hopefully then the poor players would like to Corey and anybody, maybe loan anybody out. And we're also having that attraction of Premier League football. Hopefully it's an attractive option for a lot of players around this area.
Limavady manager Paul Owens, and by the way, Limavady's Stephen Lurie was named the NIFL Championship Player of the Year at the 2026 NIFL Awards last weekend. Institute are also playing this weekend. The Derry-based side are at home to Ards, that is in the relegation group. It's time for a break. We'll be hearing about the new boxing competition named in honour of the late great Peter O'Donnell after these. Stay tuned. Everyone, welcome back to The Score. Now, the Donegal Boxing Board this week announced a new Box Cup competition in memory of the late Peter O'Donnell. The first event will take place in October in the Clonmany Community Centre and will feature schoolboys and girls, youth, junior and under-19 fighters. Peter was a legend of Donegal and Irish boxing, but sadly passed away in October of last year, and the board are hopeful that the new competition can become one of the biggest in the country. Here is James McCarron, the president of the Donegal Boxing Board, speaking to the Donegal News' Ryan Ferry at the launch of the Peter O'Donnell Memorial Box Cup this week.
It's the first time it's going to be a Box Cup in the North West, and indeed taking in Tyrone Fermanagh as well. It was a dream of Peter's, so it was always to bring a Box Cup to Donegal, because he thought that we were in the standstill and we were fit to do it. Unfortunately, we didn't get to 1-1 in Peter's time, but we are delighted here now, and I think it's a great opportunity to run it on his behalf as the Memorial Box Cup, which will run now over in October in 2026, and then it'll be every year afterwards, the same weekend. So it's great.
Very good. So obviously, you know, there was huge sadness throughout the Donegal sporting circles, but particularly in the boxing sphere after Peter's passing. And I'm sure it's been a tough few months for everybody as well, because he was synonymous with boxing in Donegal.
Yes, definitely in Donegal, but not only in Donegal. Peter was famous all over Ireland. He was the past president of the Donegal Boxing Board. He was a member of the Ulster Boxing Council and also a member of the AABA, the World Box or Irish Boxing. Peter was MC at all the tournaments, from small tournaments, club level, to provincial championships, to national championships, Mr. Boxing, we called him. But Peter was famous within boxing, and he was a great man for boxing for the kids, from boy, girl, one up to 11-year-olds, up to elite senior boxers. Peter knew every one of them, and they all knew Peter. All the kids, everyone knew Peter O'Donnell in boxing. Like, he was very, very well gotten, very well liked.
Yeah, and I'm sure over the last couple of months, you've been probably trying to find the right way to pay tribute to him. And like this Box Cup now, like, it looks like it's going to be a big event, and you know, for schoolboys and schoolgirls, and up the way to under 19 as well, I believe. So like, it's going to be a really prestigious event, and like, by the turnout of clubs from Donegal, from Tyrone, from Derry today, it looks like it's going to get the support that it deserves.
Oh, without a doubt. Peter will got massive backing from all over Ireland. We are getting phone calls even this evening in Texas to say, from people from our association, to say they'll be down that weekend to help us run this tournament. That's how well Peter was liked, and that's how well he was got everywhere. It's going to be massive, absolutely massive. It's going to be one of the biggest boxing events ever to come, amateur-wise, to come here to the Northwest, and indeed Ulster. Taking out the Ulster League Championships, as we said, boy one, 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds, the whole way up to under-19s, will box this tournament. So it'll be, we're capping it, because we have to cap it at over 400 boxers, and we expect to get the full 400 boxers with the support, because people are going to want to come and take part in the first Peter O'Donnell Memorial Box Cup, without a doubt. And we think it's going to be a massive success, because as you can see, as you said already, the crowd we have here today, and no one knew what was happening. We just put out a message to say, please come, and we have a bit of news to tell you, and everything will be told tonight. And Rafal Club is not a small gym, and it's packed. It was packed through afters. People coming because it was to do with Peter O'Donnell. And that's a testament to Peter as a man and what he did for boxing.
Yeah. So, like, the weekend itself is going to be held the 17th and 18th of October in Clonmany, and so it's going to be a two-day event?
A two-day event, and we'll have three boxing rings going simultaneously. So we'll have the boxers will weigh in every morning from 9 to 10 o'clock, and then we'll box them and start every day at 12 o'clock, and they'll be boxing three rings at the one time, hopefully most of the day. So it's going to be very, very good, and it's going to be a great for boxers. The box cups happen all over. There's maybe 10 at the minute in Ireland, and then they're all happening all over the place, and teams are travelling all the time to different box cups all over Europe, England, Wales, Scotland. Donegal boxing team has took many of the teams out, and it's going to be great to have one here in our front door that we can, the boxers can come here as well to Donegal and show also as well to people to see Donegal. And Clonmany is an absolute excellent spot for that community centre. Is a massive hall, and we're fit to fit in three rings comfortably, plus hopefully hold a big crowd of capacity of people and to watch the boxing as well. That's going to be very important, that not only did you box in this box cup, but you get your family out to see you box, and it's going to be great. And like, we have some really, really nice things as well for the boxers. We've got some really, really beautiful medals, and all the Peter O'Donnell Memorial Box Cup medals, and they're going to be a keepsake for maybe even better than an Irish medal. But these are going to be lovely, and it's just going to be very, very good. It's going to be great.
And Peter O'Donnell obviously was always great at encouraging the youth to get into the local gyms and get boxing, and he'd be encouraging everyone around all the local clubs to get in and try and see how far they can get in this tournament.
Oh, 100%. Peter was a great man for youth boxers. Every weigh-in, we used to do the weigh-ins here in Rafower, all over the country, and Peter knew every boxer that came in. He was fit to name them when they came in, and they were walked out afterwards saying, Peter O'Donnell knew my name. And this was great for the kids, to like 11, 12 year olds, that this really popular person within boxing knew their name when they came in. And that's the kind of person Peter was. Peter brought a bit of life to any room. He lit up the room. Everything was a crack and joke with Peter. Do you know what I mean? And then when it got down then to the serious stuff, then it was, as we said, he was a bit of a slave driver. If Peter wanted something done, it was done, and that was it. There was no second questions about it. That's the way he was. He was always driving boxing forward, always, in Donegal, and indeed in Ulster as well.
James McCarron, president of the Donegal Boxing Board, speaking to Ryan Ferry, sports editor at the Donegal News. That was at the launch of the Peter O'Donnell Box Cup this week. It's cricket up next on tonight's show. Letterkenny Cricket Club are set to take on the sides of the senior ranks in the Northwest Cricket League this year. Given that Letterkenny was only formed in 2019, it is a major achievement to be playing alongside the top clubs for the very first time. The club, which is the second in the county of Donegal after St Johnson, have made their way to the top tier without their own facilities or ground. Members are hopeful the council will come through in the coming weeks and start the process of giving Letterkenny an area for practice nets and also somewhere to go for their underage development. The men's first team start their season this weekend with two rounds of T20 action before their Premier League Section 2 campaign begins the following weekend. Highlands' Oisin Kelly went along to practice this week to get a feel of their hopes and ambitions both on and off the field.
So we're here at Brady Cricket Club in Mahra Mason in County Derry, some 40 minutes away from Letterkenny. We're here to preview the new Northwest cricket season with what is now Donegal's second senior club. But what makes this even more remarkable for Letterkenny Cricket Club is here they are set to play in the top level in the Northwest, but they don't have their own facilities. Each and every week they have to make the trip here to Brady to practice, and on match days for the last number of years they've had a 2-hour round trip each and every weekend just to participate in the qualifying leagues. But now they're in the senior ranks, and what makes this achievement even greater is the challenges that the club and its players are facing. Ram Mohan has been based in Donegal for over 20 years and has been playing cricket in the Northwest during that time, previously with the county's other club, St Johnston. But back in 2019, Ram and a group of friends made the decision to form Letterkenny Cricket Club.
This was our dream, like when we started in 2019, that in 5-6, maybe in 10 years' time, we want to play senior cricket. But with all the hard work from all the boys, and as well as, you know, the volunteers and parents, we made it. So it's how many years now? 6 years. And considering COVID, right, 2 years COVID, there was very less cricket. But you know, if we see serious cricket, then I can see 3 to 4 years of hard work, yes, we are here. And then when we see where we stand as of today, it's you know, it's self-accomplishment, not only for myself, for the entire the group. The only thing which is still kind of, you know, hurting us is the facilities. Not able to attract the local crowd because we don't have facilities. We have to travel like 30 minutes, and for matches, 2 hours. So once we have that, then all I can say is that, you know, in 5 years' time, we should be kind of, you know, competing against the top teams in Ireland. And hopefully in one day, like, you know, we can have host an international match in Letterkenny.
If this level of cricket is going to be sustained in the Northwest by Letterkenny, having their own facilities, basic facilities, is key for the club. Letterkenny Cricket Club have already linked in with Atlantic Technological University in Donegal and the Donegal County Council. Both parties have agreed that they will support Letterkenny in trying to facilitate them. Councillor Michael McBride has established strong connections with Letterkenny and hopes that the council can deliver on the facility soon.
Oisín, I suppose first of all I would just like to congratulate Letterkenny Cricket Club on the phenomenal success that they've, you know, that they have achieved over the last number of years that they've been in existence. I've been working with Donegal County Council over a number of years trying to, number one, find a location for to put batting cages for Letterkenny Cricket Club, and number two, to find a long-term home for them in the town in Letterkenny. I think there's so many people involved in that sport now that they deserve to have their own home in Letterkenny town. And I'm really hoping in the next number of weeks that that Donegal County Council will have an answer back to Letterkenny Cricket Club. We've had some meetings, and I'm hopeful that Donegal County Council will be able to help them, number one, to get their batting cages, which is very important from a training point of view, and that in the long term, they may be able to assist them, maybe with a lease, with some ground where they can develop their own cricket pitch going forward.
Bobby Rayo's name is synonymous with cricket in the Northwest. He had a glittering playing career back in his native India, where he played and won at the top level. He's made Ireland his home for almost 40 years and also represented Ireland at international level. Bobby sits on the boards of Cricket Ireland and the Northwest Cricket Union, and he says that they will support Letterkenny in any way they can to get their own home back in the county of Donegal.
And now the first cricket team in Letterkenny. It's amazing to see that from just a grassroots levels where they came. So most important for them is developing the youth and going into the schools. And Northwest, I'm part of Northwest, like we have a new committee and a new chairman and a new CEO. We're going to help Letterkenny and other clubs, especially Letterkenny, like the CEO and the committee are there to work to get them a ground and, you know, the facilities and other things. Again, you know, it's not that easy. If you have your own ground, if they have their own ground, it's great for them to concentrate on the youth and even get in ladies' teams, because Drummond and other places too far to travel. But Northwest are working towards it. And it'll not be an easy, you know, this year for Letterkenny, because they come into the Champions League. Other clubs are already established, and they have pros, professional, and things. It'll be a good challenge for them, and I'm sure they will. They'll put up a good fight, and hopefully they'll stay up or finish in the middle. It'll be a great achievement, you know.
Letterkenny have come up through the qualifying leagues, winning back-to-back promotions, titles, and numerous cups. The players involved in Letterkenny are from India, Pakistan, South Africa, Sri Lanka, and Afghanistan, but the first team still has yet to feature a player of Donegal descent. The quality of the opposition is about to ramp up for Letterkenny as it starts this weekend with two rounds of T20 action, with matches on Saturday against Eglinton and Ballyspallin before they play their first senior Premier League game in Section 2 the following week, and that is away to Glendermot. This season they will also be playing in the Northwest Senior Cup and the National Cup. Dilip Singh is the club captain. He oversees the captains of all five teams at Letterkenny, and he says first team captain Gopi Kurunjai Sava and the first team players are setting their goals high this season.
We have limited facility. So with that, I would say our goal would be, you know, give good competition to existing other team, try to sustain in this level in championship, and God knows if we'll do good, we'll see that if we can go promoted to Premiership 1 as well. Let's see, you know, so my goal would be I will help team and captain to form a good competitive team with giving the chance to youngster as well. We'll try to win as much as possible the matches. We'll try to be at least top of the league. So okay. that would be our objective this year. So this year we'll also focusing on if our second team can promote to Q2. So we'll try to be on top on Q3 league so that we can promote to Q2 as well. And we have third team in Q5, so we'll try to promote into Q4. I think we have good number of people this year. We'll try to give good competition and try to win the match along with, you know, giving opportunity to youngster and new guys. In future, you know, I want, you know, the Donegal and Little Kenny, new kids, to raise some you know, the interest in the cricket. Cricket is all about hitting the ball, okay, realizing the bad ball and hitting it. And it is just like hurling, you know, just you have stick of bat and watch the ball and hit it out of the ground. Pretty much same. So hopefully the Irish kids as well, you know, if they can get good interest in cricket. We have good team, we have good bonding here, so I think they will enjoy us. If you have interest in cricket, come to Letterkenny Cricket Club. It would be good fun.
Having proper structures in place, particularly at underage level, is key to Letterkenny Cricket Club producing homegrown players, and have a Donegal player get to the senior first team. This can only happen if Letterkenny can get proper facilities. Varman Tiwari is the youth children's officer with the club.
Children are very important because if they do well, they come up the ranks, and that's how a club can sustain, and we can sustain the cricket in Northwest. We want more kids from schools like Educate Together, Elistrine, and Skolkumkale. You live in a community wherever you go, right? So community has to come along. So see, like paddle, right? Pickleball. It has just become so famous recently. It started in Brazil. And now it's everywhere in Letterkenny, in Derry, all around. So same with cricket. Like, kids come, they see their friends playing, they show interest, come to the club. Like, I went to the schools a couple of times to get together, give them sessions. Some of the kids shown interest to play. So that's how we'll develop. But right now, because like we don't have proper facilities, like council is helping us a lot. But it's a challenge that we have to overcome with the council, with the people, with the support here.
So Letterkenny Cricket Club was formed 7 years ago. They now play in the top tier of senior cricket in the Northwest. That's a fantastic return by its members in such a short period of time. I'll leave the final word to Dilip Singh, the club captain. What's his vision of Letterkenny Cricket Club for the next 7 years?
First of all, we would like to be in the top league, that is in Premiership 1. I'd like to have some ground, our own ground in Letterkenny, so that our local guys who have interest in cricket, they can go and enjoy the match, watching match. So we are not getting kind of proper spectators, you know, who can come and support on the ground. Few families are coming sometime, but if the ground will be in Letterkenny, we all can go in as a family and we can enjoy the matches there. So I'm hoping, wishing that we will have our own ground in Letterkenny, and we'll see our top teams performing there, and we'll cheer for our Letterkenny Cricket Club team.
Highlands Oisin Kelly speaking with various influential people involved at the Letterkenny Cricket Club. Their tilt at senior cricket gets underway this weekend as they play Eglinton at 12 on Saturday, which will be followed by a clash with Ballyspellin at 4 o'clock. The very best of luck to all involved. Now, let's move on to Gaelic games. After Armagh edged past Tyrone in last weekend's preliminary Ulster Championship round, there are two quarterfinals this weekend. Firstly, on Saturday, Derry host Antrim at Celtic Park. That game has a 5 o'clock throw-in time. And then on Sunday, Monaghan play Cavan and Clonus at 3 o'clock. The Leinster Senior Football Championship quarterfinals are all being played on Sunday. Meath host Mark McHugh's West Meath. Louth are at home to Wexford. Wicklow welcome Dublin to Offham, and Laois go to Kildare. The Ulster Minor Championship gets going this weekend with 4 first round games on Saturday at 12 noon. Derry play Down, Tyrone play Armagh, Monaghan face Antrim, and Donegal under the guidance of Carol Lacey are away to Cavan at Breffni Park. Donegal's senior footballers aren't in action until next Sunday when they play Down in Letterkenny, but the senior hurlers got off to a brilliant start in the Christy Wren Cup last weekend, beating Wicklow at O'Donnell Park. Next up for Mickey McCann's side is a tricky test away to Kerry at Austin Stack Park. That game is down for a 1 o'clock throw-in this coming Sunday. Tyrone are away to Mayo in the Nicky Rackard Cup. Here at home, there's another full round of games in Divisions 1, 2 and 3 of the All-County Football Leagues. The only Division 1 fixture on Saturday sees Termon play Nivora Lower Rosses at the Burn Road from quarter to 7, while on Sunday, bottom side St Michael's play Kilcar. Niamh Connell host Gidore. It is St Dunan's up against Glenfinn. Evry O'Ballyshannon play Glenswilly, and Sean McCool's are up against Dunloe. Our dedicated weekly GAA podcast is available to listen back to over on our website now. This week, Brendan Devaney spoke with Tyrone legend Owen Mulligan and Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life on the DL debate, which you can listen back to over at highlandradio.com or on the Radio Player app. Finally for tonight, in American football, the Northwest Vipers return to the pre-hen playing fields this Saturday when they host the West Dublin Rhinos for what promises to be another exciting afternoon of American football here in the Northwest. The Vipers come into this one full of confidence after a huge statement win on the road against Wexford Eagles last weekend. That win, combined with their earlier 21-0 shutout over the Antrim Stags, has given the Vipers real momentum heading into this weekend. They now return home to pre-hen with the aim of making it 3 wins in a row. Kickoff on Saturday is at 2 o'clock. That's just about it from me tonight. If you missed any of tonight's show and want to listen back, you'll be able to find the full episode over on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com or over on the Radio Player app. We'll be back with another episode of The Score next Thursday from 7. I am Mark Gallagher. Thank you very much for listening. Jimmy Stafford is up next with some great music just after the 8 o'clock news. Have a great evening. Enjoy the sport at the weekend, and I will be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.